Ken is coming, and he is going to bless your socks off. Come on, brother.
Interesting. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to see you too. I'm going to figure out myself. It's been a while since I've done this. Share a few things, and then as we're getting into the scripture that we'll be coming from today, I'll read that, and then I'm going to ask Brother John if he'll pray over our time together. But let me pull up Evernotes. Got Evernotes in here that I keep track of different things, and I would encourage all the men who, there we are. If you're not going to men's communion on Fridays, I would encourage you to do that. Brother Rob leads that, and he's always praying about and looking to share what truth he can with us. It's on 6:15 at 6:15 on Friday mornings, and it's about 30 minutes, sometimes shorter. This past Friday, he was talking about how communion doesn't have to be just for the big things. You know, it should be a regular thing that we do as believers in the body of Christ. We don't have to wait for the big event, the crisis, to partake of communion, because if we understand what communion is, just as we did today, it is about fellowship. It is about remembering our Lord and Savior. On November 13th, one of the things he was sharing was that miracles are common among you. Amen. Communion is one of those times that we can come back together and reflect and realize that you realize it was resurrection. We may not experience it in our everyday life, but there is resurrection power in us. And it was evident in our Lord and Savior. And so it's a good time to reflect and recall that, because life is not going to let you know that resurrection power is available for every believer. Good stuff here. Back in the middle of October, he had shared 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Prior to that, God had given me what I'm going to share with you today. It's been brewing for a long time, and from some things that Pastor Michelle has shared that we'll get into. But when Brother Rob shared that particular passage, things just came together. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And that's the scripture we're going to start from today, Brother John.
We do bless you.
Thank you, Father.
We glory in you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
In the privilege to call you Father and be named as your son. Now, in Jesus' name, we thank you that this place is blessed with your presence. Father, we thank you that we are now arrested in the anointing. And in the name of Jesus, we speak peace to our minds. We rebuke and bind distractions.
Yes.
We rebuke and restrain the unrest that has gripped us. We do not allow the enemy to steal from our thoughts and our intents in this moment. We say the Spirit is released.
Yes.
To do your will. We thank you. We decree our hearts are opened. Our minds are open to receive what you have for us this day. We thank you, Lord, as your word infuses us with divine ability this morning. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I want to start off today. I'm going to talk about something that Pastor Jim had set as one of the mottos of this church, or the missions of this church, was to teach my people faith. And a lot of this started when I was, I came back to this as I was helping clean the church in October of last year. And there's a plaque that's on that other pulpit, and it simply says, teach my people faith. A simple message, a simple proclamation, that's what God has called us to do. And so I've been here since 91, and I've heard message after message after message about faith from different angles, different approaches. And I know I've been saved for quite a while. It was way back when I was a young lad in First Baptist Church of Plano, Texas. And I think I was 8 or 9, somewhere around there. And so I've been in the church for quite a while and gave my heart to the Lord and asked him to be, ask Jesus to be my personal Lord and Savior and never looked back. There have been times where there have been doubts, as some of you may have. We're going to talk about some of those as we get in the message today. But I remember vividly, this was as I had grown up a little bit. I don't remember if necessarily I had come to UT and then gone back to that church or if I was still there. Nevertheless, I remember being in assembly at First Baptist, and we were all singing from the same hymnal. You know, you got the hymnal, so we were singing number, whatever number it is. and I remember singing, and we were all in unison, all together, and it was such a beautiful, harmonious singing. I love that. It was actually just recently, last Sunday before assembly here, I turned on First Baptist Church so I could hear their assembly again, just because of the memories and the different things it floods back to me. So I listened to their assembly before ours. But I remember sitting in that assembly, all in unison, worshiping God, singing a hymnal, and I had this, I kind of was out of myself. And the best way I can describe it is, you know how you take medicine like Benadryl and you feel like separated from, I saw somebody's eyes get big. Just so y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, that's what I felt in the midst of us praising and worshiping God. And I remember having that experience and I looked around at everybody and we're all just going through the motions. I said, Lord, does anybody really believe this? Is this really true? Is this, you know, what if this is all a ruse? You know? Now, I understand that y'all are like, well, how can a Christian have these thoughts? Because we have a very real enemy. And I remember having these thoughts, and it was literally like that Benadryl phenomenon where I was separated. And I said, I chose to shut my mind down and got back in the Spirit, and I had a wonderful time of worshiping God. And I say that to say to you, your head doesn't have to line up. It's your spirit that we need to follow. It's your inner man that needs to hearken unto the voice of God, and you have the ability to put your head in check, to put your heart in check, to put your body in check with what God is doing. We're talking about this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we're going to get into it. So take a deep breath. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, we walk by faith. And we're going to look at this in different translations. But when it says we walk by faith, understand this is how we are to pass our life. When you look it up in the Greek, it says to pass one's life. I was listening to Pastor Michelle's message from September 20th, if you recall, where she talked about Judges 6 and 7, and we're going to go through that scripture by scripture today. But I remember, hopefully I got this still on, I remember going through her message, and I listened to it about four times. I remember Pastor Jim teaching us as a body that you don't just take a message and you have a one and done. You should listen to something over and over and over and glean as much as you can. And I remember listening to it, and part of it was because I was driving when I was doing it, so I couldn't, you know, take notes, get on my Evernote or type on my computer. But there was a lot in there, and so that was part of the genesis for what I'm going to share with you today. I went back, and after listening to her message over and over, went through studying Judges chapter 6, verse 7. And so with that, we're going to pick back up. For those of you who heard the message, you recall a lot of this, but hopefully we can bring out some new things here. In Judges chapter 6, verse 11. It says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. So the first point that I want to bring out as we're going through the scripture is an angel of the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him. Verse 13, then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Some of you all, we're in Judges chapter 6, verse 13. Some of you all may be asking the same question. If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? It's a question I've asked. It's a question some of you may have asked. I recall this. One of the reasons, and I'm just being transparent and open with you, which one of the reasons I don't like ministry, and I'm just letting you know behind the scenes, is because every time I get into the Word, God pulls things out of me that are vulnerable, transparent, open. I'm like, Lord, you ain't got to do all that. Right? I just want to teach. I love your Word. I love it. I'm just, again, being transparent and open that God brings things out that I'm like, Lord, you could have left that in right now. You know, and so I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay. I remember asking the Lord specifically, and this is why I bring this up. I said, Lord, you've used me to teach. You've used me to share. You've used me for revelation knowledge, and I've gotten great things from you. How did I not see this coming? And I had a heart-to-heart with God. I'm like, well, for the things that I've gone through, how did I get to this place? Why did I not see this coming? I hear from God. I'm anointed. I follow God. And yet, we get here, verse 13, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Some of you may be asking that as you are going through. Some of you may have asked that in the past, and if you haven't done it in the past, or if you're not doing it now, there's going to be a point where you ask this question. Just live a little bit longer, okay? You're going to get to this point, and you're going to say, Lord, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. What happens when we question God is, if we're not careful, we can get into a lie. Because the next statement that he shares here was, in fact, a lie. He said, now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. That wasn't the word of the Lord. Verse 14, the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? One of the things that Pastor Michelle had shared in her message September 20th was that his word is our equipping. So if God tells you something, then he has equipped you to be able to do it. God is not going to give you a word and say, oh, watch this. Let me take a step back and see if this is going to happen. No, the fact that he shared it with you is the fact that he equipped you to do it. Pastor Jim used to say that the evidence of the need, or the presence of the need is evidence of the supply. See, some of y'all have been listening to Pastor Jim. He used to say that all the time. The presence of a need is evidence of a supply. Same principle here. So what does the Lord look at him and say? Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? He said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. Love this. There's always reasons we can't do what God has told us to do. Well, but Lord, you know, God tells us to do something, and then we go back with reasons of why we can't do it. Y'all remember Moses? He did the same thing. But Lord, I can't even speak right. He said, that's all right. We're going to use your brother Aaron to help you out. There's a lot I got to share here. Let me keep moving. He said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. So Gideon said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from there until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you. And he said, I will remain until you return. Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Remember, this is the same Gideon who in verse 13 questioned, where are the miracles? And yet what just happened in verse 22? God showed up. He did what the Lord asked him to do, and there was a miracle. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Gideon had a revelation that he had met the angel of the Lord face to face. I want us to understand and realize that, because we're going to come back to that. Verse 23, the Lord said to him, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now on the same night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah which you shall cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. He did as the Lord had spoken to him, and because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. There's a lot in there. I want to unpack a few things in here. There's definitely more than what I'll share with you. But one of the things that we see in here is that Gideon came from a family who worshipped whom? They weren't even serving the Lord, not his family, right? And yet it was the angel of the Lord that spoke to him, and he ended up tearing down the altars of Baal. Now, the other thing that I want to note, I want you to notice in here, it says that he was too afraid in verse 27. He was too afraid. So what did he do? He did it, instead of during the day, he did it by night. You know, a lot of times we, because we have a promise that, or we have the scripture that says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind, that if there's presence of fear, that we can't move. And that's not what that scripture is saying. God is saying, I did not give that to you. I gave you power, love, and a sound mind. So we don't necessarily have to wait for fear to leave. We can spur on and do what God has called us to do in the midst of fear. Don't let fear immobilize you. Joyce Meyer just wrote a book, came out September. I don't know if the premise of it was from this, but she wrote a book, and I love the title. It says, Do It Afraid. Do It Afraid. What God has called you to do, whether fear is present or not, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Verse 28. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it was cut down. And the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. They said to one another, who did this thing? And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son, that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it. We need to understand something, that when God calls us to do things, there are intended consequences. And the key word there is intended. The enemy is not going to like you moving out and stepping out and doing what God has called you to do, and there are going to be consequences. But who stood in the gap in this particular verse? Who was Joash to Gideon? Notice in verse 31 it says, but Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. I have underlined in my scriptures the word but. Joash was Gideon's father. So technically we can look at this and say, but God the Father. There may be intended consequences against you as a believer, against you stepping out and doing what God has called you to do, against you doing and submitting to God. But God the Father, he comes and stands in, and we see from Scripture that our Redeemer pleads our cause. Notice that. But Joash, but the Father. Look at this. I'm going to drop down to 36. In the interest of time, then Gideon said to God, if you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken. One of the questions that came up as Pastor Michelle was ministering, and she talked about the fleece. Many people wonder, okay, so is the fleece good? Is it bad? What's the deal? I want you to understand something. When we look at these verses through verse 38, go back to verse 22. Gideon realized that he saw the angel of the Lord and said, alas, O Lord, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Verse 22 was not enough. So what does he do? I mean, here is a guy who saw the angel of the Lord face to face. He did what God said, and he saw a miracle of God, and yet he still needed confirmation. So here we are in verse 37. We get to verse 38. And it was so, when he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. So he sets this test for God. God passes the test. Then he does another test. He's like, all right, let me switch things up. Gideon says to God, do not let your anger burn against me that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground. The angel of the Lord he met face to face. He saw a miracle of God. He set a test for God. All of these things, and it still wasn't enough, so he does another fleece. Are y'all following? Verse 38 through 40, and it was so, I just read that. Verse 40, God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. I put this, God had me put this in my notes, and he shared with me, he says, you can put out fleeces all you want, as many times as you want, get as many confirmations as you want. At some point, you still have to act on God's word. How many confirmations is enough? How many words from the Lord is enough for you to do what God has asked you to do? How many words from the Lord is it enough for me to do what God has called me to do? Jeremiah said it this way, it's like fire shut up in my bones. That's how it needs to be with all of us. We don't need a confirmation that, Lord, you've asked me to do this, so please do something with this fleece. No, the fact that God said it should be enough for you. It should be enough for me to do what God has called me to do. Many times we get into this mentality of we're going to put out these different tests for God. The way I like to think about it is, we want to see signs and wonders before we speak the word. And God says, no, signs and wonders follow you speaking the word. They follow you declaring the word. They follow you stepping out. That's the life of a believer. That's the life that God has called us to. Look at this. It doesn't stop there. Now you know why I listened to that message four times. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then, I can't even say that, so I'm going to call him by his name, Gideon, his other name. Then Gideon and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Arad, and the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. I want you to understand, when they're looking at the camp of Midian on the north side, they are seeing 135,000 people. This is the army that he's going against. I need you to understand that. There's 135,000 people that they are going against. And if it's not enough to know that number, he sees. He sees this number. So we get into verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands, for Israel would become boastful, saying, 'My own power has delivered me.'" This is where, you know, I get broke. Not broke as in no money, but broke as in Lord. Because God says, okay, this is a group that when you look at here, he's talking to them and he says, look, y'all got too many people going up against an army of 135,000. Now, we don't know it yet, but there are 32,000 of them, because we get to that in verse 3. There's 32,000, I'm sorry, 32,000, and God says, look, 32,000 against 135,000, this is a little bit unfair. It's a little bit unfair in that you are going to boast and say it was of you, so I need to cut this down a little bit. I need to pare this back. And this can answer the question in our life that, I just don't like this, but, you know, I'm like, why are things seemingly hard? Why are things seemingly harder? And at times, it's because God wants the power of God unleashed in you. Many times, we rely on our own strength to get us through, to get us by, to get us over. And God says, no, I want it to be the power of God that gets you through. And we see this here. So he says, look, you've got too many. You're going to boast. So let's cut this back. Judges chapter 7, verse 3 through 9. Now, therefore, come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore, it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you, but every one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, you shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink. Now the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people kneeled to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hands, so let all the other people go, each man to his home. So the 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets into their hands, and Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his tent, but retained the 300 men, and the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. I want you to know and realize something. In verse 9, it says, I have given Midian into your hands. Faith is a done deal. You've heard Pastor Jim mention over and over the already's of God. Before there was even a war, he told them, you already have. Y'all see that? It is past tense. How can we celebrate the victory now if we haven't even fought the battle yet? It's because God has already said it. We celebrate the fact that if God said it, it is a done deal. I don't have to see it. I don't have to walk through it. Here's an interesting thing. Abraham, it talks about how faithful he was, and he's even listed in Hebrews chapter 12 as someone who had, you know, accomplished and done all that God had told him to do, and yet he never got to see it. Think about that. At least we get to see some of the fruits, right? But whether we see it or not, it is a done deal by the Spirit. And I've shared this with people that God is outside of the realm of time, and it's hard for us to grasp. And the way I like to kind of give a picture of it, y'all remember those back in the day when they used to make cartoons and they'd have the flip book, and you flip the pages and you could see movements, right? That's how they made cartoons. Our life, the trajectory of time, God has a flip book. So he already knows what's on page 57. He already knows what's on page 230. We just don't. So we've got to trust God. There is a flip book, if you will, that everything is going on. God is outside of the realm of time. So when we're thinking, we face this conflict, when we face this trial, we're thinking, oh, it is dire. Y'all remember, every one of y'all probably has a story that y'all follow that on net, well, I guess they release everything now, but there's always the cliffhangers, right? It's like, oh man, I gotta wait till Monday and it's Friday. How are they gonna get out of this, right? Or they have the season finale. How are they gonna wrap this up and start in the next? And then you wait all summer and you get to the next season, and then they just, 10 seconds of the story, they explain how they did all this. And you're like, come on. And then the most annoying ones are the dream sequences, right? It's like, what? This was all a dream. Already, God said, or his friend replied, God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. Look at verse 16. He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all them with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, look at me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do when I and all who are with me blow the trumpet. Then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say for the Lord and for Gideon. Sorry, I need to back up because there's some stuff I want to make sure you got here. Verse 10, we talked about fear. If you are afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp, and you will hear what they say, and afterward your hands will be strengthened, that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Purah, his servant, down to the outposts of the army that was in the camp. Before we get to the scriptures that I just read, I want you to notice, verse 10 through 11, that God told him specifically how to deal with fear. You know, we will quote scriptures and talk about how God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Make sure you wait and listen to what God, after you're quoting and declaring that, listen to what God has to say. Because God worked with him where he was at and said, notice, if you are afraid to go down, I'm going to help you out. And he sent him there, and what did he hear? He heard what they were saying, right? What the dream was. Now, verse 12, now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend, and he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. His friend replied, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. One thing that's made very, very clear is not only did God speak to Gideon, but he spoke to the enemy. We're sitting here thinking, well, how is this going to happen? God has spoken to me. God has said this to me. I feel this in my spirit. How in the world is this going to occur or come to transpire? Not realizing that God may have already spoken to the other side and told them, look, you're going to lose this battle because you're coming against my son. You're coming against my daughter. Or you're going to have to give this up, give up this territory because you're coming against my son or my daughter. Don't limit God to just you. He still spoke to the other. Now notice, what did Gideon finally do at the end of verse 15? He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands." He finally spoke what God said. Gideon finally shared and spoke what God said. Now, what happened immediately after that? You've heard Pastor Michelle mention this before, over and over. It wasn't until Gideon believed and spoke what God said that strategy came. We're waiting on strategy, and God says, no, first you've got to agree with my word. And immediately, it was just one verse after that, strategy came, because now, finally, Gideon was locked and in step with his Lord. He knew what he was to do, and the strategy just opened up. It never would have opened up had he not spoken and said what thus the Lord had said, or had he not agreed with it. We get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. If you turn to Romans chapter 14. Thank you, Father. Romans chapter 14, verse 23, at the very end of that, it says, "Whatever is not from faith is sin." God has called us to live by faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. I didn't say that. Pastor Richard didn't say that. This is in the book. This is the scriptures. So everything that we do, we should do by faith. I remember Pastor Jim ministering, and you know, I'm thinking, you know, faith, that's for the big things in life, right? He was talking about, he's like, everything you do, you should do by faith. When you're doing your laundry, do it by faith. When you're, you know, going and picking up your kid, do it by faith. When you're doing all of these menial tasks, you should do it by faith, knowing that there's blessings in you doing what God has called you to do. If you want even a little more teaching on this, there's a book in our bookstore called Training for Reigning. And it talked about how, you know, we're all waiting to rule and reign in this life, but we can't rule and reign over our yard. We want to rule and reign in life, but we can't rule and reign over having a clean car. You know, remember Pastor or Creflo Dollar ministering, he's like, you know, sometimes you need to have faith over your stuff. Go ahead and get that chicken bone out the back bottom seat of your car. Exercise authority over the stuff that God has given you. Take care of different things, right? We got to walk by faith in everything, not just save it up for the big thing. It's very frustrating when I hear people talk all the time, and when you've done everything else, and you've done all that you can do, just pray and hold on. That always gets me. Prayer should be the first thing that we should always do, not the last thing. It's like, okay, I've done all these different things, and okay, now let's get to praying. Let's go to prayer first in any and everything. Let's birth everything. Let's cover everything by prayer in God. I'm getting blessed. Whatever's not from faith is sin. I want to read this from the Message translation. Love this. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. I love these scriptures that I ain't got to, you know, say much. You know, I just read them, and it's like I get the credit like I'm preaching. That's the Message translation. It says, if the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. James puts it this way: you are a double-minded man, unstable in all his way. I love that passage because it says in all his way. Instability in one area bleeds over into others. That's why it's so important for us to constantly birth everything in prayer so we can make sure we are lined up with God. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Y'all know Luke is before John. Why are you going after John? What are you doing in John? Luke chapter 18, verse 8. I'm sorry. This question got me. Here's our Lord and Savior. This is our Lord and Savior talking. In some of your Bibles, it's in red. It's not in red in mine. But we see here, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Why in the world would our Lord and Savior ask that question? Unless there's a possibility that it could not be. Where are we, church? You know, it says, teach my people faith. Are we walking in faith? When I come, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? And why would he ask that question if there was a possibility? Right? Hebrews, this is, I'm going to give you some context to, he had this question, and we get to Hebrews chapter 7, and we wonder, what is our Lord and Savior doing now? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Our Redeemer is always living to make intercession for you, for me. You know, it's great that we've got Pastor Richard and Pastor Michelle praying for us. I got a text the other day from Pastor Richard, and he was letting me know, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. That blessed me. That blessed me. Like, I apologize if y'all didn't get a text, but I got one. There was another person in the body, not even here, and texted me out of the blue. She said, hey, just want to let you know you on my heart have been praying and interceding for you. That blessed me. That blessed me. Hearing about these different things, and, you know, I'm praying for you all as well. But guess what? Jesus is interceding for you right this very minute, right this very hour. What is he praying? What's he saying about you? I'm going to give you a little sneak peek into what he could be praying about you. Where is it? Luke chapter 22, 31 through 32, while he was walking amongst us on the earth, he said, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Our Redeemer's concern about us is that our faith may not fail. Ask you where you're at. Where is your faith right now? Are you still hearkening unto the voice of the Lord? I had prepared all of this, and I told you this is things that God has been burning in my spirit for a while now. And so I was all done, you know, with my notes or whatever, weeks or so ago. And I was getting ready last night, I think. Yeah, because I was coming to, or I was thinking about it, coming to prayer last night, which, by the way, prayer Saturday nights, 7 o'clock, if you can make it. I had to call Rob and Jerry because I didn't know what time it was. I was like, is it 6, 6:30 or 7? It's one of those. If you show up at 6, you can pray outside till we get here. But you can still pray. But I called them, is it 6, 6:30, 7? Anyway, I'm driving up here, and before I got here, I realized, well, I was late a couple of Wednesdays ago to hear the message that Brian had ministered. And he started with this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And I started in the middle of it, so I caught the second half of it. Got to put press in the bed and all this other stuff. So I got the second half of it. I finally got to listen to the first. He started with 2 Corinthians 5, 7. I'm like, Lord, this is what you gave me. Is Brian about to preach my message? Because this is what you gave me. And I listened to all of it, and fortunately, it wasn't the same text and all the stuff that God had given me. It's totally different. Not totally different, but you get what I'm saying. But one of the passages that he brought out that I want to turn back to is Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 through 31, because this just hit me. I've never heard this ministered, even when he was sharing, that God just dropped this in my spirit. Because I had already prepared, and I was looking at this, and I was thinking, well, what is it going to take? Because here, Gideon, he saw an angel of the Lord. He saw a miracle. He tested God with a fleece. Then he's like, okay, let's do that again, Lord, but let's change it up. He tested God with another fleece, right? Yeah. And yet he still needed confirmation. And so I'm listening to Brian as he's sharing, and at some point I had to stop listening because he was going through Matthew chapter 14, 28 through 31, and this was when Peter walked on the water. And many times when I hear this ministered, we obviously hear it's about distractions. You know, he was walking on the water, and he looked and saw the wind and the waves, and then he began to sink. And that's normally the vein that I hear in it. And God paused me, and he said that Peter was already walking out in faith. And yet he didn't finish. Why? Because of trust. He didn't trust and keep his eyes on Jesus. There's a point that we'll get to where we're walking out on faith. It doesn't stop there. Faith is how we walk every step. You know, when we look at this, it says produces truth in action. Well, what happens when you get out and you are doing those great and wonderful things that God has asked you? You still got to keep your eyes on him. You still got to have that relationship with him. It can still falter even as you're walking out on faith if you don't continue trusting God. Same with me. If I don't continue trusting God, it can still falter. But thankfully, what does he do? Picks us up. And notice what he said to Peter. Where is your faith? And yet he was walking on water. That's what baffles me. He was walking on water, and Jesus asked him, where is your faith? Many times we like to boil faith into this mechanical thing because it's easier for our brain to understand. It's easier for us to lay hold of it when it's even simpler than that. Faith is trusting God. Faith is believing God no matter what. John chapter 5, 39. Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. You know, we're going and looking up all the promises that God has for us, which is great, and we speak the promises. But I ask you, as Pastor Michelle did in another message, she talked about going deeper. Is it enough to quote and declare the promises of God? Or do we know him? There's a difference between me getting up and saying, you know, by his stripes I am healed. There's a difference between me getting up and saying Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that he does exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask, think, or comprehend. But let's get into the heart of the matter. Do we trust God? Do we have that deep relationship with him? That's what he's after. He's prepared all of these good things for us, but do we trust him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 through 23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20. Our Redeemer, when the disciples came back and they were like, woo, Jesus, we cast out man. Y'all, whenever y'all get some time, I can give you stories of how I used to hang out with, I still hang out with John, but I would hang out with John on UT's campus and Brother Damon, and I was like, I used to think there was something wrong with John. Because every time I was with Brother John, like, demons would manifest. I'd be like, and they get the Brother John, and he would go cast out some demons. I'm like, man, this brother is live. Every time, wherever we go, something going to pop up. And these disciples came back, and they're like, hey, we was with Brother John, and we was casting out demons, and this is great. And he says, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What does that mean? That means that we have a relationship with him. That means that we were invited to the party. Amen. Y'all ever heard about somebody getting an invitation and you didn't get one? And you're like, oh, it's like that? We not cool like, okay. Y'all know what that means? Okay. It means you got something for this. Guess what? Jesus said, rejoice, for your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We were invited to the party. There is a big get down, unlike any other get down we've had. I've been to some parties. I've had some good food. I've had some good, but ain't nothing like the party that we have been invited to. That's what we should be rejoicing in, that we have relationship. This is what God has called us to. I'm excited. Pastor Richard and Pastor Michelle, they did a message on seeing him. This is what God is after with us, seeing Jesus. I didn't understand, when I was, we were singing the song all the time. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. I see the praise team. I don't know what y'all see. but that's what we sing, right? This is where we need to get to, that we have such a tight relationship with him that, yes, we see him. That we see him. Oh. I'm going to close with it. I'll share this story. First of all, let me give you one of my favorite passages. It's weird having glasses that you need for reading because you keep putting them on, taking them off. It's like, which way am I going? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, one of my go-to passages I've gotten. Oh, man, always come to this. But it says, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. I used to look at this and think, well, that's acknowledge God. That's what's up, God, and carry on with my day, right? That's what it means, acknowledge God. And I was looking this up, and in the Hebrew, it says acknowledge is translated from the Hebrew word yada, which means to know properly, to ascertain by seeing. I'll share the story with Preston, my seven-year-old. Well, when he was much littler, I would carry him around. I can carry him around still, but I was carrying him around, and I was just getting things done, doing chores around the house, just busy, taking care of stuff. And he was talking to me, and Preston's got a lot more words than I do. I'm generally quiet. He can talk from sun up to sundown. So I'm holding him, and he's talking. And I'm just nodding, and I'm like, yes, yes, uh-huh. Oh, tell me about that. And I'm talking, I'm doing all this stuff, and I'll never forget this. as I'm walking and doing all of this, and I'm, some of you know, I shared this before, he takes both hands on my head and turns them to him. I was like, oh, I get it now. Because he wanted fellowship. It's not just about us multitasking and doing different things, and God speaks to us. And we, oh, we're going to do it, and oh, we're saying the amens in church. We're doing what God has called us to do, and we're getting things done. And yet God says, look at me face to face. We have our divided attentions, right? This is what God is after. This is what it means to trust him, to rely on him, to look into his face. This is what God is calling us to do, to worship him. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. We started with this. I'll end with this. The Amplified says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. The CJB version says, for we live by trust, not by what we see. The Phillips translation says, for we have to live by trusting him without seeing him. New Living Translation, no, I'm sorry, NIRV says we live by believing, not by seeing. When Brother Rob had ministered that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 in our time of communion, this is the translation he used. We live by believing, not by seeing. And that really spoke to me. New Living Version, or New Life Version, NLV, our life is lived by faith. We do not live by what we see in front of us. So where does this leave us? What does this get us to? I'll close with a couple of scriptures as promises for you, promises for me. Philippians chapter 1, 6 says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm not finished. I've been through some things. One of the scriptures that's held me, Psalm 147, verse 3, where it talks about he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Well, guess what? I'm healed. I've been bound up. And I read you a scripture earlier that talks about, hey, now that you have been blessed, now you go bless others. I know there are people who have been through what I've been through. Guess what? There's people in your sphere of influence who you're going to come in contact with who have been through what you've been through. You know, I had my son born 2 pounds, 9 ounces, preemie, 5 weeks early. That's a rough thing to go through. And going through NICU for 5 weeks. But guess what? There's somebody there who's been there before me. Rachel is what? 1 pound, 6 ounces. Sierra was 1 pound, 15 ounces. There are people who have been through what you've been through. And they can encourage you and say, look, here's the scriptures that I stood on. Here's what got me through. You don't just, Brother Steve talked about, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. No, you have been through some stuff. You get to now rise up and encourage others and say, look, God will never leave you nor forsake you. That you are the apple of his eye. That he cares for you. The same way that you receive the encouragement from God, you get to encourage others and let them know that, look, Philippians 1, 6, that the work he began in you, I'm confident in this, that he is going to complete it. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. The Amplified Version says, whoever believes in him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him will not be disappointed in his expectations. Love that. The Message, Scripture reassures us, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. Amen. Pastor Richard.
Praise God. Thank you, brother. Excellent word. Excellent word. Let's just praise God for just another minute or two, acknowledging that his presence is here, his spirit is here, his word has been delivered, and now we are opened to see the work and the hand of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard. Y'all go ahead and just praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you for the word that we have heard. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence here and your anointing. Father God, we release to you all of our care, all of our worry, all of our fear and doubt. We release that and we receive the faith. We receive because you have spoken. And as you speak, Father God, we are changed and we make a concerted effort to agree with what you have said, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because your ways are higher ways than ours. Your ways are ways of truth, and there is not even one shadow of turning or of untruth in your word. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saturobaka sitiriba sekididie. Saturomanda barabasite de la cachaturo soto rabasata rakite. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, stand with me. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we again are so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the men and women of God who have expressed their heart today during this whole assembly, and that we see your heart in it. We see your heart in everything that has been done. Father, we choose to look to you. We choose to keep our eyes on you and to see you and to see you only. Father God, we focus and we put our heart in your hands, Father God. We know that you never fail. You've never lost a battle. You never will. And that you always cause us to walk in triumph and truth. I pray that the hearts of those that you handpicked to be here, because we prayed last night, Father God, we ask you that you would stir hearts of men and women, boys and girls that would come and be in this assembly. So we know it's a divine appointment. It is not an accident that who is here is here. Father, I thank you that the word was meant for me. The word was meant for everyone in this room. And I thank you, Lord, that your word takes root in our heart and it grows and it produces much fruit so that we do not walk in fear. We do not live in intimidation of, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to do anything. I don't think I can do this, so I won't do anything. No, Father, we hear your voice. We see you high and lifted up, and we follow after you. Father, let your word not be stolen. Holy Spirit, watch over the word. Maintain that word, that seed that has been planted in our hearts, that it may grow and produce the fruit of the Spirit to be like you, Father God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. I know it's a little past what we usually go, but if anybody here needs hands laid on them, needs prayer of any kind, we're going to open up the altars. Ministers are ready. But the Spirit of God is here. His anointing is here. The word has gone forth. Miracles, signs, and wonders follow the word. So we're ready. I'm going to go ahead and bless you, let you go. If you must go, if you want prayer, come on down. I say that you are the blessed of the Lord, that whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse, and that as children of the Most High God, you are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure, that you are surrounded with his favor, his mercy, and his grace. They follow you, they go before you, they are on either side of you, always honoring and giving glory to the Lord of the universe. I say that everywhere you go, you are the sweet-smelling aroma of the knowledge of the presence of God. And the world knows you've been with God because you have his smell on you. You have his heart beating inside of you. And everything that you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because God is with you. God is in you. And you can do all things through his anointing because he infuses you with divine ability in your flesh as well as in your spirit. There is nothing that is impossible for God. Therefore, it is not impossible for you. You are loved. You are blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. Go and shine in the darkness, bringing the light of God into your sphere of influence. Amen. Don't forget, Brother Ken ministered to us this morning. He did an excellent job. He is worthy of a blessing. We're going to use this bucket right over here. Be a blessing back to Brother Ken. He ministered to us in spiritual things. Now we can minister to him in material things. Amen. Also, don't forget, if you haven't got your 2021 calendar, we've got them right up here. A lot of things are still coming up. You're free to take one. Just help yourself. And don't forget the announcements of things that are coming up. Tuesday night, prayer. Wednesday, we got church. Friday night, we have our church party. And come dress festive, ready for a party. Bring some finger foods, and we'll have some fun. And then, of course, next Sunday, we get to have church again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're dismissed. Don't forget the refreshments in the foyer.